Welcome, everyone, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And, of course, I'm Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens. And we're still studying the blood covenants of God and the difference between the first covenant and the second and the last covenant. The first one in the blood of animals, then through circumcision. Why was that? To get a special child. That special child was Isaac. Mm-hmm. It's supernatural. Because here's the covenant and the contradiction. God entered covenant with Abram. Abram did not enter covenant with God. God chose him. And he said, as for me, my covenant is between the two of us. So, I have made you the father of many nations. Mm-hmm. And it comes before that chapter's over with in the 17th chapter of Genesis. He introduced circumcision.
That's right.
When he did that, there was a blood covenant between Abram, who became Abraham, the father of many nations. And it said he was fully persuaded. The man was 100 years old. That's the contradiction. 100-year-old men and 90-year-old women do not have babies, and she had been barren all of her life.
Amen.
It took a blood covenant of God and the chesed of God toward those two because he had chosen this man because he would teach his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was his qualification.
Yeah.
So, I try to put myself in God's mind. God's saying, if he'll teach his children, I can handle the rest of it.
Right.
And if he'll walk before me blameless and on this covenant, I'll take care of everything.
And that's what that circumcision was about, to teach his children.
Yes.
Because all the men of the Israelites from that moment forward are taught. You're part of what God did with Abraham. It's a sign for you. It's an outward witness. So Paul will explain it to us, circumcised in the flesh. Now God, though, because he operates by the Spirit, will circumcise our spirit.
Yes.
Or circumcise our heart. Yes. It's not just flesh now. It's a spirit matter now.
And I, from the things that the Lord and I have discussed over the last 56 years, since it is in the Spirit, now, I asked the Lord one time, I said, why did you demand that the circumcision of a man, how could anybody know he's in covenant? Now, when tribes go into covenant, they make mingle blood in a way that it can be seen so that the weaker sign wants you to, tribe wants you to see this. Because you don't know my covenant. You don't know who is my covenant partner, and you better let me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I inquired of the Lord about that. And he kept referring scriptures to me. And then he came forth. He said, I made him wealthy. He followed my leading, and I made him wealthy. And he said at the Valley of the Kings, while he was Abram, and they said, you know, they tried to make a deal with him. No. He said, you take the spoil and everything else. I don't want any of it. He said, I have lifted my hand to the Most High God. Never let it be said any man made Abram rich.
There you go.
But Almighty God.
That's right.
Now, he knew it.
Hallelujah.
He wouldn't take it. Praise God. Because he depended on that covenant.
Yes.
Glory and I learned to depend on that covenant early on.
Mm-hmm.
And believe this book. For everything.
Mm-hmm.
And things, it's supernaturally, things began to happen.
Mm-hmm.
She or I, neither one ever Not ever, because of what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. We never did ever set out to be wealthy. Never. Certain things happened. And I like to say it like this. We just wound up that way.
Right.
But it was just the moving of God. The first thing that happened, we pointed out Romans 13:8 to stay out of debt. Oh, my, my. Oh. And like John Osteen said about that kind of thing, Gloria and I missed a lot of inflation problems. Because we have no debt. We don't have a mortgage on anything. Listen, class, I'm not bragging on us. I wasn't smart enough to figure that out in the first place. My dad borrowed money, and he got irritated at me because I wouldn't over a house, that first little house there in Fort Worth. He said, you know, he said, I found this little place out there, and he went through the whole thing. And the man said, you tell that young preacher he can set his payments. And my dad was real thrilled about that. I said, Dad, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, well, you know, but Gloria and I both, right here in your house when I was preaching at Grace Temple. And I promised God, and so did Gloria, we'd never borrow again. So he said, well, I'll buy the house and rent it to the ministry, and then I'll sell it and make money. And he did. But I could not do that. Now, I didn't say it's a sin for you to do it, borrow money, but it wouldn't be for me.
Well, your dad worked in finance and insurance, so that was a natural.
That's the way he had done things.
Sure.
He would, Greg, he had a working relationship with the bank, and he would buy something. He'd find something. He'd go to the bank and tell them he wanted the money. He didn't have to have any collateral.
Amen.
He said, because I want to pay cash for that, and I'm going to get the best deal I can get. They'd say, sure, write them a check. And then he'd double up and triple up on the payments and pay it off way ahead of time so it wasn't any interest involved in it. But I didn't have that privilege. But, today. And now the ministry is in no debt. The church is in no debt. Glory to God. It is so blessed not to have people hounding us and, you know, when are you going to pay us? Now, I finally had to learn to tell the truth. I'm not. Why? I don't have the money. I don't have it. When are you ever going to get it? I have no idea. And they'd just write me off. That had happened over a period of time there, long period of time. And it turned out to be $24,000 in the end. There were two large ones and then a lot of little small things. But before we left Tulsa at ORU, now these were not faith checks. We didn't date these things.
Right.
And I had a little desk about this big and wrote checks to everyone. And made the whole list here and wrote them to everyone. And didn't date them when we had the money. I'd take the check and send it off. Take the check and send it off. There was one for $4,000 and $2,000. They were the largest, and a lot of them the smallest. In 11 months, we had no debt. Now, that old ragged car we had that Brother Hagin didn't want sitting out, we had to do something about that. And so I called Mr. McCandless and I told him what the whole thing was all about, that I had found a Buick. He said, go write him a check for it. I'll cover it. The last $50, listen to me, people. You can do the same thing. The last $50 was to Mr. Ben McCandless. We've never owed anybody since. Amen. So I took it to him personally. It was on that little Buick Wildcat. He had a large desk. And he was about, I'd say he's probably 5'6", 5'7", something like that. Giant of a man spiritually. And I leaned over there and handed him that check. I grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up out of his chair. I said, sir, this is the last debt.
Amen.
He said, Kenneth, put me down. And he sat there and he smiled. And he said, I'm going to give you some advice. I said, good. He said, don't be too hard on Thomas.
Oh, that's good.
He said, he's not a doubter anymore.
Amen. Amen.
You ever had a banker tell you that? No, probably won't. Now, it's all in the covenants. So turn with me to the book of Romans. This is in the second and last covenant. In the 8th chapter, I want to read this 11th verse. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Mm-hmm. Make alive your mortal body. Yes.
Dwells in you. Key phrase.
Now, for if we live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's Greek for daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny started an orphanage in Greece, and it's Abba House. It's Father's House.
Right.
And all these little guys, they found some of them out in a rummage place, you know, foraging for food. And they just, and they all knew it. I have a father. Amen.
Same word in Hebrew for daddy or for father. That was the name of our church in San Diego, Father's House.
I didn't know that, Greg.
From that.
Now let's go over to
look at 16. Keeping with that, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit.
Yes.
That's how he talks to you.
Yeah, now that, and that's, yeah, that, let's dwell on that. It's the inward witness. The inward witness. Gideon did not have that.
No, he did not.
Now, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and so forth and so on. Gideon didn't have that.
No.
There are different stages of it in this first covenant. What makes the difference? Abraham's qualification was he'll teach his children. Let's go to Judges 6. Now, in the 34th verse, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
He came upon him. Nobody over here is born again.
No, they're spiritually dead. Now, that shocks people when you tell them that.
But that's true.
All the people over here, they're spiritually dead. They're not, their spirits have not been recreated.
The only person in Jesus' ministry that was not spiritual, they dead, was him.
That's right.
Because they were not new creatures yet.
That's correct.
That's what he was all about. That's why he was here.
That's right. Reconciling the world unto himself,
yeah.
Not imputing their trespasses against them. Corinthians says that.
That's,
they're all not, they're not like you if you're born again and if you're in Christ. Your spirit has been quickened, a new creation that never existed before.
Yeah.
They didn't have that.
They didn't have that.
Now, the Spirit would come upon them. There was three anointings where you would see the Spirit. The Spirit came upon the king, the priest, and the prophet, and they were anointed for that office that they stood in. And then there were other people. Gideon's neither one of those. He's not a king, he's not a priest, and he's not a prophet. But the Spirit came upon him to do a specific thing.
This is the reason at Nazareth they could not understand what Jesus was saying.
That's right.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach.
Yes.
Well, they could go along with that because they knew about the prophets and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But then he took these different items to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the great jubilee. And this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.
That's right.
What? It can't be. We've known him since he's a little fella.
Well, only the Messiah can make this fulfilled
yes.
in your ears.
61st chapter of Isaiah.
That's right.
That's what, whoa, right now? No. Is this not Joseph's boy? No, it wasn't Joseph's boy. Don't we have his sisters and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd you like to have been Jesus' sister? That is a hard life, don't you know? Why can't you boys be like Jesus?
He never does anything wrong.
That's the original, what would Jesus do?
What would you do? Never mind. Mama, please don't bring it up. Please don't do it.
How'd you like to be a boyfriend of Jesus' sister?
No. I don't know. It might have been a good job. But we see there, then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. That's when the Spirit of the Lord came on him.
For that moment.
Now.
Yep.
So. And then in this sixth chapter, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the land of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Man, they ran from them. They hid out in caves.
They lived in the caves.
And all that. They encamped against them and so forth. Now, point out who his father was.
Well, now, his father is a worshiper of Baal. And he's Jewish.
Yes.
Of his tribe. So they're living in their promised land, but they're not living in their promised land. They're running to the caves every time the Midianites come in.
Yeah.
Every time they would get a crop grown. And you get that.
They'd come get it.
They'd come take it. They'd come destroy everything. They'd raid and take everything from them. Mm-hmm. And Gideon will become one of the judges of Israel. Let me give you the primary characteristics. This is after, let's set the conditions. This is after Joshua. Joshua has died. We're talking about a 200-year period where all the judges were. There is no, here's what we know, because I can prove this to you from the 17th chapter of the book of Judges. After the death of Joshua, there's no king or central government in Israel. Joshua, that's Judges 17:6. We'll tell you that. It's in your notes, class, that you have. Everyone, Brother Copeland, did what was right in their sight.
That's right.
They had no central government. I could be describing the United States, couldn't I? There was a neglect for the Word of God in that time period, and they were always in bondage to their enemies.
Mm.
That's what happens. There's no king. There's no Joshua. And so these judges arise. Now, Judges in the Bible are not what we think of as judges today. They're not judges in a court with a black robe.
Mm-mm.
You can't think of, I was trying to think of one of the TV judges, and I can't think of their name. It's probably a good thing. You can't think of one of those. Think of Rambo. You ever see those movies? Think of think of a warrior. That's what the judges were. Deborah is one of those judges. Now, not all of the judges are very spiritual. We wouldn't look at the judges and say, man, I want that guy in my church. No, Samson's one of them. I mean, a lot of them are not very moral at all. You know what, Brother Copeland? When I first saw Donald Trump, I thought, he's a judge of Israel.
It reminded me of that.
Here's what they got to do. Their primary thing is to make Israel great and to protect the walls, to protect the nation from these invaders coming in all the time.
Right.
Build a wall and make Israel great.
I heard a pastor say, he said, I'm not looking to Donald Trump to pastor the nation. Mm. He's a pastor. He said, I'm not looking to him to pastor the nation. I'm looking to him to fix it.
And that's the judges of Israel.
Now, all the people that really don't realize in other countries, what was called the Johnson Amendment, that we as preachers could not stand in the pulpit and endorse a candidate at the threat of taking our tax-exempt status away from us.
Mm-hmm.
It never did happen. But the threat was there.
Mm-hmm.
Intimidation.
Yeah. He had never heard of that.
Mm.
He said, where's freedom of speech? Mm. So he just stopped it.
Amen.
So you may not like his style. But anyway, we'll need to get into that.
Their language was coarse, many of them. Their morals were not what we would think of. I mean, you see
Samson
that?
Samson was.
You know what his name means? Little sunshine. That's what his name means. He had to be tough named Little Sunshine.
Oh, was that Johnny Cash song? Yeah, the boy did, named Sue.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But think what he did in the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They punched his eyes out, trying to thinking that they would stop him. He was on a Nazirite vow, and his hair began to grow. And he said, position me between the two pillars of this building. And they put him in there, and they were mocking him and laughing at him. And he summoned God for one more time, and he just pulled the whole building down on him.
Yeah, you know what he's doing? He's draining the swamp.
Yeah. And he judged that place.
Mm-hmm.
They found out right then there's a God in Israel.
Amen.
This great and mighty thing they had built, he just pulled it down around them.
So, the last time I was in Washington, I looked at those great pillars and I thought of Samson. I thought that would be draining the swamp.
Yes.
One last time just to pull that down. So there's a lot of stuff. Gideon is the fifth judge of Israel. He's raised by a Baal worshiper. He's given a false
name. Yeah, that's right here in 6:28. The men of the city rose up early in the morning. The altar of Baal was cast down and drove. The grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built.
That's
so
right.
That altar to Baal was right there.
And Gideon right pulled it down after his meeting with the angel. Yeah. We'll get in that.
And we're out of time.
We'll get into it tomorrow.
Okay, we just got this pulled down. And we'll get into it tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Do you have questions about what's going on in the world, about your future, your family, the direction you should go? No matter the questions and situations you're facing, you can rejoice and be shielded by the peace of God. Get the Family Peace Package, a CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland called Simple Stress Relief Through Thanksgiving and Praise, and their book, Family Promises. Start putting God's word in your heart now concerning your family, marriage, and children. Then when the storms of life life come, you can be led by the Spirit of God to know what to do and respond in faith to overcome. Learn to quiet the sounds of the world and receive the answers you need for every situation you face, knowing God is with you. Your praise and worship to the Lord is a weapon that silences the enemy and produces an atmosphere where God's blessing flows. Roll your cares onto Jesus, your caretaker, and live in His peace that passes understanding. Request your copy of the Family Peace Package free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Receive the truth of God's Word established in your heart and grow strong in faith. The Family Peace Package is a great gift idea for your friends and family. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org.uk/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
If you live your life by faith, you never have to change your lifestyle because of the times. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's the way we must be. Whose report will we believe? We believe the book. We prosper if anybody else does or not. Because we know the laws of prosperity.
Join us for the New Year's Eve service with Kenneth Copeland at Eagle Mountain International Church on Sunday, December 31st at 7 p.m. Central. To learn more, go to kcm.org today.
You just wait till tomorrow. We will get a spiritual morsel. Morsel?
I know, it's good.
Tastes good. We'll see you then. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, and all the class. Remember this, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Amen. So give the praise of the Lord to Him and bless His name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.